In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This is a day of trouble. This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be, the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, He is come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given unto the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Hezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Harmat, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Eva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? But thy servants hast thou reproached, by thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste defensed cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. Excuse me. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right. So, remember last week, Rabshakeh was up on the wall speaking in Hebrew to the people and trying to dissuade them and to weaken their resolve for defense. And he kept saying things like, you know, don't let Hezekiah assure you that the God of your fathers will deliver you, because the gods of the nations round about have not been able to stop my advance, and so on. But the first thing we want to see, or the first question we want to ask then here in chapter 37 is, where does the king turn? He turns to the Lord. This is a mark of his godliness. Where do kings normally turn when they're under threat? They turn to their generals. They turn to their advisors. They turn to their armaments. They count the people. They sharpen their skills. They up the training ante. They make sure all of the equipment is in good working order. Now, I'm not saying that Hezekiah didn't do any of these things. What I'm saying is that first and foremost, he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord's prophet. He didn't go to his generals nor his advisors. He went to Isaiah. And what did he find in Isaiah? He found a godly counselor in Isaiah. Now, these chapters, 36, 37, 38, 39, there's some chronological difficulties in them. They're probably not written in chronological order. Lord willing, this afternoon when we get to chapter 38, we're going to see something that really makes it look like it is out of order. And that's okay that it's out of order. It's not written in a chronology. It's written to magnify certain things over others for certain points of emphasis. The emphasis here in 36 and 37 is what the Lord does to the Assyrians and how he makes use of them before he dispatches them. So, notice first of all here that the king goes to the prophet Isaiah. And what does he receive from Isaiah? He receives a word of comfort that the army that is right now surrounding Jerusalem will be drawn away somehow. And then what does the Lord do? Well, remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the God of all the earth. And so what does he do? He stirs up the Ethiopians. And he stirs up other enemies of Assyria, right? And what's Assyria thinking? Well, I've got this mat laid out and all the edges are glued down over the face of this world here, the ancient world. What does the Lord do? He causes some of the edges to start rolling up. And so what does Assyria do? They withdraw their forces. They withdraw their forces from Jerusalem and they go take care of these little fires that have sprung up. And so the first word of the prophet, Isaiah, that came to Hezekiah when Hezekiah was under threat and came before the Lord. Notice that first word was, I'm going to withdraw them. But they did not stay withdrawn. They came back. They returned and sieged the city once again. And so what does Hezekiah do the second time? What he does the first time. You know, this is unlike some of the other kings of Judah that we read about in 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings. For instance, we think of good King Asa, right? Well, you know, good King Asa, the first time he was under threat, went to the Lord. The second time he was under threat, he went and hired the Syrians to help him. And the prophet comes to good King Asa and he says, didn't you learn anything the first time around? Hezekiah, over and again, spreads out his complaint before the Lord. In the first, it was the verbal complaint. In the second, there was a letter that came. And he just opened that letter before the Lord and said, Lord, what are we going to do? And so then he sends his messengers to the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah gives that second answer. The first answer was, I'm going to draw them away. And they were drawn away. They had to go take care of Ethiopia that had risen up against them. After that, here they come back and they're going to surround Jerusalem. Their plan is to besiege Jerusalem and to conquer it. And so here comes this letter advertising this intention. Isaiah spreads that letter out before the Lord. And the Lord then raises up his prophet to speak once again to King Hezekiah. And what is the word of Isaiah to King Hezekiah? Well, it's a very complex word. The first thing is it comes back and the Lord reveals his heart as to what he's going to do with Assyria. How come it is? Why is it that Assyria has been so very powerful over the ancient world? Why is that? The Lord says, well, I made those other nations of little power. I gave you all those victories. I'm the one that caused you to run over the ancient world. And now you rise up against me. Well, Isaiah had advertised this all the way back in chapter 10, hadn't he? After I have performed everything that I'm going to perform upon my people Israel and Judah, then I will punish the stout heart of the king of Assyria. We read that all the way back in chapter 10. So now all we're doing is expanding on that theme, getting a little more detail. The Lord made use of a wicked nation, the Assyrians, to do what? Did you hear the boast of the Assyrian? Did you hear the boast of Rabshakeh? All those nations, their God was not able to deliver them out of my hand. Well, of course not, because the true God was driving the Assyrians over the top of those gods. But when he comes against Judah, when that Assyrian comes against Jerusalem, does he find it the same as he had found it before? No. Good King Hezekiah opens his complaint before the Lord. And Isaiah answers back. This is what's happened up to this point. And now here's what's going to happen afterward. He will not come into this city. He will be drawn back to his own city and he will die there. And isn't that exactly what happens? And so, after the word of the prophet comes to King Hezekiah, they maintain their fortifications. And what happens? There comes a morning in the siege when the Assyrian army simply doesn't get out of their tents, out of their cots. They don't get up. The bulk of them are dead. The Lord killed them in their sleep. How many was it? 180,000? Is that right? 185,000, thank you. Killed in their sleep. Well, that would make a statement. And so the few that remain, including the king, Sennacherib, go back. Now listen. What happens when he returns? Well, first of all, let's recount what he should have learned. Rabshakeh stands on the wall and he says, "Don't let Hezekiah tell you, the Lord your God will save you, because none of the gods of the nations were able to save." So why would you think it would be any different here? Suddenly, it's different. Suddenly, the Lord God, the true God of heaven, lays waste to the Assyrian army. And so what would you think Sennacherib would do when he returns home? Do you think that he would renovate his kingdom and say, "You know, that God of the Jews, we need to be worshiping him instead"? No. He goes into the house of his God, Nisroch. He doesn't learn a thing. Even though he had sent Rabshakeh and given him the script to taunt the people of Israel according to their God, when their God shows himself faithful, he doesn't learn a thing, goes home and worships in the house of Nisroch, his God, and his two sons, no doubt at the behest of the Lord God Almighty, rise up against him and slay him for his blasphemy against the true God when he knew better. That's how Sennacherib meets his end, as a blasphemer. As a blasphemer against God, who had destroyed his army and sent him home with his tail between his legs. And instead of worshiping that God, he commits idolatry, worshiping Nisroch, his God. Well, thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 37 and the story of 36 and 7. Now when we get to chapter 38... this afternoon, Lord willing, we're going to go back in time. Okay, we're going to go back before the Assyrian army is destroyed. All right, well, let's